Well, it's good to be back into a sane country. And Mary and I have lots of fond memories of our time together with you back in those days when we were here. Since we left, I left in 2011, I went to work with an organization called Interim Pastor Ministries. And the role was to go into churches that had lost their pastor and they were in between pastors and to help them to get a little sense of the profile of who they were and what their needs were and what kind of a pastor they would need, and then to help them in the process of finding another pastor and doing that as working with the search team and so forth and then serving as their pastor during that time. Did six of those. We started out in Gothenburg, Nebraska. That's where I became a cowboy. And then we were in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, San Jose, Costa Rica, and then south side of Seattle, and Irondale, which is up near Port Townsend, and then finally ending up in Ephrata, Washington, on the east side of the mountains. The last one took 2 years, and we finished that in 2023. And I got a call for another one in Portland in 2024. Started the process of interviewing and so forth, and as I got into it, I said, you know what? I just am not convinced I have the wherewithal to pull this off anymore. And so I decided to hang it up. So this is the first time I've preached in 2 years. So I'm a little rusty this morning. Our kids have finished 14 years in Amman, Jordan, and then moved for 5 years into Tunis, Tunisia, and then 2 years ago moved to Brussels, Belgium area, because they're needing better schooling for the three grandkids. And our youngest, Natalie, has spent 4 or 5 years in Tunisia and now 5 years in Spain. And she's basically decided she's going to become a Spaniard. So we leave a week from Monday to go see the kids and spend some time in Europe with them. So we're thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives over the last several years. Would you just pray with me before we begin? Father, I pray that you would calm my heart and that you would take control by your Spirit of what is said here this morning. I ask, God, that you would move me out of the way and that your words that you once said will come to the fore. I thank you for this congregation and all that has taken place in these last 50 years. And we pray that you would build on that foundation and that we would see further ministry in the years ahead. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. 50 years ago, this place got started. It's interesting that about the same time that this congregation was formed, I began my role as a lead pastor in a small church in Springfield, Illinois. So you think back over 50 years, and there's a lot of things that change. I recall 50 years ago when I got up to preach, I wore a three-piece suit, white shirt, and tie. Behind me was a full choir in robes. The congregation sang from hymnals. You know what those are? Yeah, there's a lot of things that changed. I didn't know what a PowerPoint was. Never used them. And over time, I moved from the three-piece suit to a sports jacket and tie, and then pretty soon the tie went, and pretty soon the jacket went, and then got down to casual slacks. I didn't get quite as far as the interim pastor we have at the church we're attending now. I think I would call him a Southern California surfer dude. He wears tennis shoes, and you know, we were talking last night about wearing jeans with holes in them. That's kind of where he's at, and I haven't gotten that far. But then you think of what's happened here at Eagle Ridge in the last 50 years. Just reminiscing last night and going through and realizing the three steps to get to this place where we have the facilities that we have now. The gymnasium basically starting as a multi-purpose unit, and then moving from that to having the little small kitchen, moving to the larger kitchen and the Christian education unit, and then ultimately to be able to put this facility together for a beautiful worship space. And as you watched the progression that was shown last night, it's clear that there were a lot of changes that took place as the congregation moved along. And I would imagine there were changes in terms of worship style and all of that that took place as well. I was sharing some of this with a Bible study that we have in our home and how things have changed. And one of the ladies in the group said, Oh, I wish we could go back to those times when you had the big pulpit and the, you know, the three-piece suit and the worship was out of the hymnals and all of that. And I realized that, you know, she was looking back and having a kind of a nostalgia moment. And as somebody has said, what has happened is our worship time has become a rock concert with a TED Talk. And she was not too happy about that. And she was really nostalgic. The interim pastor that we have last week was speaking on his series in Ecclesiastes. And he brought a verse forward that I decided was important for us to think about this morning. The verse is from Ecclesiastes 7:10, and it says, "Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise." And I think when we celebrate, like we're doing here, our 50th anniversary, it's easy to think back nostalgically and to think about God's faithfulness and to focus about his faithfulness in the past. But I think that's misdirected, because as Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." So yeah, the Lord was faithful back 50 years ago, 25 years ago, 10 years ago, but the Lord is faithful in this generation. And as we celebrate this 50th anniversary, I think it's important that we keep in mind that God's faithfulness continues. It is tempting to focus on how God worked in generations past and miss how important it is that he is faithful today. The people of God in the Old Testament had a similar temptation. You remember how God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, and they celebrated the worship of the Lord in the tabernacles, and the Lord blessed them, and it was a fruitful time. But you know the story of how they wandered into idolatry, and eventually, as a result of that, what had happened to them, the Lord sent them into captivity in Babylon. And I would imagine that while they were thinking about where they were in Babylon, they were concerned and thinking back about the good old days when God was faithful to them back in the land of Egypt. Not Egypt, Canaan, Promised Land. And so the people needed to learn a lesson. After living in the land he had promised, they drifted, and a significant number of them were taken captivity into Babylonia. And while in captivity, they longed for the good old days when God was faithful to them in the promised land. So God gave them a word through the prophet Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 29, he shares that word. Let me share it because I think it's informative to us this morning. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captivities he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build houses and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that they may have, so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. God's people could look back and see how God had been present with them back before the captivity and back when they still lived in the promised land. But they could easily miss the reality that God was faithful to them in the here and now. They could miss the reality that God is faithful to them in Babylon right now. God was faithful to them, but God is faithful. He could be trusted then and there. He can be trusted in the here and now. We demonstrate our trust in the faithfulness of God by how we live our lives in the current situation. That means entering fully into the time and place where we find ourselves, where God has put us. God has put us in this place at this time for His purpose at this moment. And we need to hear the words that Mordecai gave to Esther when she was before the king. Who knows? God has made us for just a time as this. Trusting God's faithfulness means being the people of God who represent the purposes of God in our particular time and circumstances. Jesus came, and John the Baptist said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. The incarnation of Jesus meant that He entered into our world and settled down in our world and brought the presence of God into our place. We are now to do the same. What does that look like? I watched the video of last Sunday's service here where the reports from the conference with several of the pastor and others had gone to talking about the peace and the prosperity, and looking at this text, working for the peace and the prosperity of the place or the city in which we live. It looks like what happened back in 2008 when ERBF stepped out and partnered with Hope for Freedom Society and Rob Thiessen and began the Cold Wet Weather Mat program, where we began to interact with the community. The congregation stepped up, cooked meals, provided hospitality and care, recognizing that God's faithfulness meant taking action for the prosperity of the city. It means living at peace with one another, making decisions led by the Spirit of God in corporate discernment. One of the key things that I appreciated so much as a part of my ministry here was learning how important it is to work in corporate discernment, especially as we built this building. Committee with robust discussions, debates, differences, and various facets of the project, but listening to one another under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and hearing what God is saying to us, not me, we move forward. Last week, the team reported about compassion, mercy, and justice. Seeking the peace and the prosperity of the city means these kinds of things. It's not bad to look back and to remember, but it's important not to become nostalgic, but to understand that what happened in the past is supposed to help us to trust that God is faithful today. There's a portion of Scripture in the New Testament that shows how we can look back in a way that strengthens our confidence in the trustworthiness of God today. It's essentially the entire book of Hebrews, where the author of Hebrews teaches us about the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you get to the end of the book, the last chapters, the culmination of God's plan of salvation, and the last several chapters build on the focus of the implication of what that means for our daily life. Chapter 11 is that famous chapter that lists all of these saints in the Old Testament who trusted God. There's that repeated phrase, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses. Even though they did not see the promises of God fulfilled, they still trusted in God's faithfulness to them. After the listing of the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter, the author of the epistle tells us why we should look back at God's faithfulness in the past. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." When we really grasp how God is faithful, it enables us to live a life of confidence and putting our full trust and dependence upon Him now. Earlier in the epistle, in the 10th chapter, the author has set an agenda for us who have confidence in God's faithfulness and His trustworthiness. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and following, we have these words. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into His most holy place. And since we have such a great high priest who rules over over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood, making us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." There are three "let us" that are the implications of knowing God's faithfulness to us today. The first is, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting Him. This is the confidence that we can go into the very presence of God and experience the intimacy of God, because He's faithful. He's our high priest. He's given Himself for us. He has shown Himself to be faithful, and therefore we can trust in His faithfulness. I've been reading a book about God's provision for human needs, and it basically talks about the fact that our basic human need is to know the presence of God. The transcendence of God is made possible for us through the person of Jesus Christ. Worship and intimacy because of his faithfulness. The second lettuce is in verse 23, where it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. The New International Version says, he who promised is faithful. Embrace your hope. Profess your hope. That's what happens when we know the faithfulness of God today. We have the confidence just to embrace the hope that God has given us. The third one is verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to love and good works. It goes on to say, let's not neglect our meeting together. The way we reinforce our confidence in the faithfulness of God is by meeting together and reminding one another, he is faithful. We tell those stories like we did last night. And as we tell those stories, we begin to realize that this is exactly what God's faithfulness means to us today. We sang the song this morning, all my life he has been faithful. All my life he's been so, so good. We say that, but then the song goes on to say, I surrender. I give my all to him. And if you really believe that Jesus Christ and God of the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to you today, then it makes sense to turn your life over to him, to let him guide and direct in your life, because you can have the confidence in his faithfulness. As I worked on this message, I was reminded of that. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. That's the impact of God's faithfulness. When, as we are truly convinced that God is faithful, we can then surrender our lives to him. So we demonstrate our conviction of our belief in the faithfulness of God as we turn our lives over to him. So I have a couple questions for you this morning. The first question is this: how or in what way are you counting on the Lord's faithfulness? And the second, is there something in your life right now you need to surrender to the Lord and to trust him with it? Because he's faithful. I'm going to put those two on the screen and just let you reflect on those for a few minutes this morning, and then I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's sometimes easy to look back and to see how you have been faithful through the years, but to fall short of being convinced that you are faithful in our life today, doubting your faithfulness. And so I pray, Father, that we would just once again have a renewed confidence, a renewed faith in your total dependency, because you keep your word, you do what you have promised, and we can count on that. In Christ's name I pray, amen.